on the night before his trial to death. Jesus broke a piece of bread before his friends and his followers. He said, "Take and eat. This is my body. Remember me in this way." He also took wine and poured it in a cup and said, "This is my blood. Remember me in this way." These expressions are so familiar to us now, yet were strange, no doubt, and ominous to those who heard them for the first time. What followed from that point on was horrendous and with purpose. But on this day, the horror appears to overshadow the purpose, and it begins with a betrayal. With the wisdom of some years, we know that when someone unfamiliar turns against you, the hurt can be more easily reasoned away. Yet when it's someone close to you who has been committed to your cause, stood by you when others mocked you, the impact is profound. He did not betray Jesus because he hated him. No, I believe he loved him and did what he did for reasons known completely by God, but certainly incompletely by himself. He could not continue in Jesus' way. He could when the way was his own. But Jesus had taken a turn he could not follow, and so he takes matters into his own hands and puts an end to all of this confusion. While they were eating, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will do it." "Surely not I, Rabbi," he responded in either disbelief or surprise that he had been discovered. Jesus replied, "You have said so." And so begins a turn of events that delivers Jesus into the hands of this man who had been his follower. But this betrayer cannot hold the weight of his fateful decision for long. He thought he could. Later, Jesus engages in fervent and revealingly honest prayer in the garden as he faces his most torturous moment. His friends fall into a slumber nearby. When he is finished, he asks them, "Are you taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." Then others came and laid their hands on Jesus to arrest him. One who was loyal to Jesus put his hand on his sword and drew it and lashed out. Jesus said, "Put your sword back." After much questioning and mockery, those who presumed to act for God in the temple listened for blasphemy. And of course, they heard what they wanted to hear. But they didn't have the courage to follow through with their terrible plans. So they handed him over to the greater political power of the time to do the worst of their work. But when the ruler from Rome heard what Jesus had to say, and perhaps more importantly, what Jesus did not have to say, he found no fault in the accused. And being concerned for his own position and the opinion of the crowd, he washed his hands of Jesus and listened to the voices of the crowd who cried out like a mob, even like the chorus of a tragic play, "His blood is upon us and upon our children." And by way of political expediency, his fate is established. As he carries his cross uphill, he is mocked and tortured more. As he is nailed, and as he is raised, insults are heaped upon bodily injuries, humiliations onto a kind of pain we cannot imagine. All this to the one who loved them. Finally, after hours of this, in his last moment, he prays a word from Scripture, from Psalm 31. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands. Jesus had been passed from the hands of one to another throughout this unthinkable ordeal, but in the end he places himself resolutely into the hands of his Father, whom he can trust. In doing so, he releases his very life. Some may consider Jesus passive throughout these terrible events, allowing the torture, allowing the distortions of his reputation. But this all leads to this most important moment when he takes up all of this in giving himself to God. His last act in death cannot be accurately described as resignation. He is doing in death what he is always doing and what he has always done, giving himself over to his Father. To accept death is one thing, but to accept it for this purpose is something more. And somehow, and we should not distort the mystery by attempting to explain too much what we know to be true, somehow it's in his giving himself over to the hands of his Father that he takes all things up and makes it possible for these bloodied hands to be washed clean. We betray God not only with our lips, but by how we live, how we express the inner workings of our hearts in the flesh. And Jesus accepts this in his flesh. Your sins are carried in his body, and by way of your faith in him, they die with him. They die with him. He carries these sins, our sins, into the fire. Why do we come to worship on this night? Why would we deliberately enter such darkness? To praise? To sing? If to pray, for what? A prayer of shame, remorse, contrition, regret? Is that what we're called to do? We are accustomed to making our offerings when we come to worship, but today he has preceded us with his sacrifice. He has preceded us. Our thanks can never be enough, never match the gravity of what he is accomplishing. How can this be for me? How can this be for you? Into his hands. This can't be it. Yet it is. We watch. We listen. We weep. We pray. We wish to be with him as he has been with us. This is what we do. And what we do can't be enough. But we are here with him. So into his hands, into his hands so he may carry us through. Amen.